Matt, is it time to start doing the podcast and stop playing Halo?
Yeah, no, I'm playing Halo. Just kidding. I'm just gonna beat this. Oh, they're coming! Oh, they're coming! Oh.
Seriously, dude, turn off Halo.
Yeah. Okay. I just gotta get to this. Okay. Yeah. I'll save it. Sorry.
All right. Okay. Cool. Can we play the intro music now?
We sure can.
Hello, welcome to the Football Sack Podcast. My name is Matt Greenlaw. Across the table from me is Pete Novikovsky. Today we're going to be looking at, as always, the Hyundai A-League. Well, it's not on at the moment, but we're going to look at some of the transfer news and a bit of the other news as well. We'll take a bit of a look at the New South Wales Premier League. We'll have a look at some player tweets, our lovely little segment there. A few of the other leagues aren't happening this weekend due to the Easter holidays. That's the Queensland State League and most of the VPL. There was one game played. We will also have a look at the WA All Flags State League and a few other shout-outs. And that's about it, really. Let's take us into the show by saying a big hello to Pete Novikovsky. G'day, mate.
Hi, how are we doing?
Did you like that intro?
I did. Yeah, it was almost as long as it was last week, but yeah, not bad. Well done.
Why don't you kick us off by giving us some A-League news?
Okay, in transfer news, Michael Butcham was released from the Red Side of Melbourne to join Sydney FC on a multi-year deal, which sees him take the first team place of Matthew German. Scott Chipperfield has turned down an opportunity to join Butcham at the Sky Blues next season after signing a one-year extension of his deal with Swiss club FC Basel. Marco Flores is set to become the highest paid player in an Adelaide jersey with a 3-year offer on the table for him to ponder over. And finally, the Oli Roos are set to take on Japan's under-23 side in a friendly in Japan on June 1 in a curtain raiser for the Japan versus Peru game.
That's an interesting game, isn't it? Japan versus Peru.
Yeah, it is. The joy of international friendlies, I guess.
Yeah, Peru. Just a bit of an interesting matchup.
It is. What were you saying Peru's famous for, sorry?
Well, I think they should be called the Peru Llamas.
Okay, yeah.
Just because that's what Peru's famous for.
Well, we've renamed clubs before. Well, why not rename countries? We're going for Peru Llamas.
Yeah, well, because I did my research in year four. What do you think of the Marcos Flores deal? Will he take it?
I think he will. I know that he has had offers from MLS before, and... to be honest, the money is there in the MLS for him, but I think he's already set up in the Adelaide first team and he's become such a prominent player in their squad that I don't see him moving him anywhere.
Not just a prominent player in the squad, but also in the league itself. He won Player of the Year and he's probably quite happy here.
Yeah, definitely. I think he would fit in well with the Thomas Broich kind of situation whereby he came away to Australia to try and escape from whatever was trying to hold him back at home, and he's found it so lovely here that I don't think he'd want to leave anytime soon.
Yeah, and Broich has come out and said that he's happy here at Brisbane, and he will stay there for the next couple of years. I read that. I read about that in the 442 magazine.
Since when do you read 442?
I read 442 ever since we versed them at trivia.
We got hammered by...
Hey, we don't need to talk about that. We did, though. We got hammered at the recent trivia night hosted by Footy Fans Down Under.
But to be fair, we did get a free copy of 442 out of it.
Well, I think we all win.
Everyone's a winner when you get a free copy of 442.
Yeah, we won't talk too much about how badly we performed against teams such as Fox Sports, SBS, 442.
And Bay 26 crew, they did fairly well.
Well, Bay 26, the Cove, they won. They won the whole competition for the night. They guessed, or they figured out, the total amount of points that Sydney FC have scored ever.
Yeah, in total. It was one of those odd questions whereby we found out how many games they had played and how many games they had won. And from that, we had to work out how many points in total Sydney FC had put together. Like, we were just taking guesses at our table.
You got a point for within 5 points, and we got that. But the Cove managed to get it on the dot. They got 208. Sydney FC have scored in all in the Hyundai A-League so far. So good on them. Next time, we'll have your number.
Yeah, well, the next trivia night is going to be down in Melbourne. From memory, it is the 21st of May.
Wow, you know more than me.
Thank you. I actually do follow Footy Fans Down Under on Twitter, so I can find out this info. So that should be a fantastic event. Definitely head along to that. Lee, who organises these events, is fantastic, so kudos to you, Lee, for continuing to do things like this.
He's great. Scott Chipperfield has come out and said he's not coming to Australia this year. I mean, probably he's 35 or 36 now.
He's getting on, definitely.
So that probably means he's not going to finish his career in the A-League. Could finish it in a state league.
Yeah, he could always head back to Wollongong where he started from. So, who knows, we could see him there next season.
Is he a defender or is he a... Well, he plays everywhere, doesn't he?
It's an interesting thing with Scott Chipperfield, because with Socceroos, we've known him to be this left back. But for FC Basel, he is more of a left forward, if anything. Mm. And he actually scored a goal in the 2-1 win on the weekend. So, it's funny watching him play in all these different positions for his different clubs and different teams.
Another defender that is coming off contract is Lucas Neal.
Yep.
A little bit of talk about him possibly being freed up to come back home.
Yeah, I'll put him in the legs of Jamie Coyne coming home. I'm not too sure. I think it would be a good idea if Jamie Coyne and Lucas Neal came to Sydney FC, but whether or...
Well, I was meaning coming home to Australia more
just in general.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Lucas Neal, if you're playing for a different club, I'd be happy.
You just don't want him at Sydney.
Yeah, more or less.
Okay, let's move on. Let's jump now to our lovely segment called...
Player Tweets! Excellent!
Yeah. Cool. Pete, what have we got this week?
This week we've had Scotty Jamieson saying, "Let Adelaide Confidential know it's going down this weekend." Sorry, what's going down this weekend, mate?
Are you in the Mafia and are you... Are you making a hit?
Look.
What's going on?
Well, we love you, so please don't put a hit on us.
He's headed down to Glenelg to have a bit of a party down Jetty Road. That's what he's doing.
Well, it links in quite well with Lloyd Owisu's tweet, who says, "At my mum's chilling, and she's got me folding napkins. Cheers, mum."
Oh, that's nice. That's nice of that Lloyd's doing that. He's over in England somewhere, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, but I like to remember him as the former Adelaide player who never actually was any good in the A-League. It was decent, but he wasn't brilliant, so...
Well, at least he's now doing well on his mum's account.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to be good in your mum's books. And another former Adelaide player, well, that's three actually former Adelaide players in a row.
Bit of a scary thing going on.
Robbie Cornthwaite has said, "Watching Too Fast, Too Furious, fat burger and fries for $2.95. Obviously, the footballer's diet is not going too well.
Gone out the window, and he can only afford a $2.95.
I thought he got paid more playing in Korea than he did. Than
playing in Adelaide.
Playing in Adelaide where he
ate a bit healthier. I think that's true. But $2.95, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
What can you get for two? What's he having?
A fat burger and fries.
A fat burger and fries.
Wow, what's a fat burger and fries?
That's probably why it's so cheap. It's just fat.
Yeah, cool.
Cool.
And last up, it's a bit of a shout out. I'm a bit disappointed with some of the people on Twitter lately. Manchester United's midfielder Darren Gibson only lasted 2 hours on Twitter before he shut down his account. It seems that a lot of fans have decided that they are going to abuse players on Twitter, and to me, I just don't think that's right. Lately, we've had Harry Kewell, who's also received a lot of abuse from Leeds fans in particular. I just don't think that's right. I'm sorry.
No. Lifty game, Twitter. Tweets? Tweets, sorry.
Tweets.
Our Twitter tweets.
Yes.
None of that needed.
Exactly.
Give Brian some slack.
Brian?
No, who?
Darren.
give Darren some slack as well. Who's Brian Gibson? Brian Gibson's the guy from football, from Australian football.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking Brian Gibson. Anyway, that was...
That
concludes...
Player Tweets! Excellent!
Yeah. Right, let's move to the New South Wales Premier League. Lots of action this week. It wasn't put on hold because of the Easter long weekend. Actually, they took advantage of that. They had a few games on Anzac Day and also over Easter. Pete, you headed along to Apia versus Sutherland Shire.
This is correct. It was on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, you went to you were busy this weekend. You went to three matches. Give us a bit of a rundown on the Apia Sutherland game.
Well, that ended in a 1-1 draw. Goals from Chris Price from Sutherland and a dude's name I can't remember from Apia shows how good those goals were. Really, it was a boring game. The pitch wasn't that brilliant. The atmosphere around the ground, there were maybe 300 people there. It just wasn't great.
So not the best way to start off the Easter long weekend.
No.
But it picked up.
It did. Saturday night was pretty good, actually. We saw Bankstown City take on Blacktown City at Jensen Park. There were probably 400 people there to watch Bankstown get hammered 3-1. By Blacktown. Mark Crotterdam's side were just too good. Definitely shout-outs towards Travis Major and Adam Jenner, who played extraordinarily well down that right side. And we actually had Branko Cholina at the game, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see one or two of those guys in Newcastle jerseys at next year.
Interesting. Travis Major's on the left, though, isn't he?
Well, he plays a bit everywhere at the moment. This week, he actually got it more of an advanced role. He actually played more of a right wing, if anything.
Oh, okay. Interesting. He made the team of the week a couple of weeks back for left defender. And
now he's playing up front. He actually scored two of those goals as well, and he should have had a hat trick, but he stuffed up one shot in 5 minutes into the game that he should have buried. But next week he'll get that hat trick.
Interesting that Branko Cholina was there. Who do you think he had his eye on?
I wouldn't be surprised if Travis Major was actually one of those guys being watched, to be honest. So, if you're listening, Branko, I saw you there. Hi.
That game, what does that mean for them on the table?
Well, it basically means that Blacktown move up the table after that win. They were sitting at the bottom. And Parramatta now take the honour of being bottom of the table.
They're right down the bottom, aren't they?
They've got 2 points after five games, and it's not looking good for them. And you were actually at Mileta Stadium to watch Parramatta take on Sydney Olympic.
And it's unfortunate that they're on the bottom, because they haven't had a bad season so far. After five appearances, they've drawn two and lost three. But they've been competitive the entire time.
Definitely, and the signings of Brody Moy and Matty Osman, former A-League players, definitely adds to their side.
It does, they do, and they both had a good game last week. Matt Osman again had a good home debut yesterday, but Brody Moy, not the greatest home game for him. Just a couple, well, more than a couple times he easily lost possession, his touch was a bit off. One glaringly horrible mistake was when he tried to cross the ball and it almost went out for a throw-in.
Yeah, cool.
Tried to cross it into the box and
It's quite hard to do stuff like that.
Went so, well out of the...
Yeah, well done, Brody.
Out of the park. So, yeah, he needs to have a look at how he's performing with the team and gelling with the team. And Brian Dean also has to help him along with that as well.
Well, he also has to get used to working with Almir Dzdarić up front. Because those two are quite tall and they hold up the ball really well together, so it's a matter of those two working better.
Alex Smith, he had another great game for Sydney Olympic. He scored again. That's six goals in five games, still leading goal scorer in the New South Wales Premier League. He's unstoppable.
It seems so, definitely. Well, I saw him get the hat trick against Wollongong in the first round. And he just looks like a decent player. Definitely, like, we've already seen that he's got a contract with Gold Coast United for next season. So, who knows, we might actually see him starting in a couple of games.
My one problem with how he played the other night against Parramatta...
Only one problem?
Well, actually only one problem.
Wow, cool.
Was that in front of goal, he was clear on goal. He had the keeper in front of him, approaching him. He had the option to pass it square for an easy
tap in for Omi, I think it is, Tanaka Omi. Yep. And that would have been a goal, straight up. It would have been easy. There was not too much pressure on either player, except for the approaching goalkeeper, Anthony Costa, for those of you playing at home, who had a standout game. As an aside, he was man of the match in my books. Without him, Parramatta would have been about 5 or 6 goals in deficit. Alex Smith, he should have passed it square. He decided to take a touch and shoot.
Bit greedy.
Greedy. It's greedy. It is. If you're going to be a striker, you need to know when to shoot and you need to know when to pass it square so you can...
Well, he's got to learn that fast. Otherwise, he's not going to make it in the A-League.
No. Well, I don't know whether he's going to go to United and be a squaddie or whether he will be there to replace Shane Smeltz.
I'm not too sure. I guess we'll have to wait and see what Miron Blyberg is going to do.
Yeah, how he steps up, how Smith steps up, and how Blyberg, yeah, deals with him.
Other big games which happened this weekend.
Before you go on, for Parramatta, I'm just still going on in this game. I've got a lot to talk about, a lot to get off my chest.
That's cool, man. We got all the time in the world.
We got plenty of time, and because Queensland State League didn't play, and VPL, they didn't play either. Well, they played one game, which we will briefly talk about. So we got plenty of time. Kataiba Elrich made his comeback after a couple of weeks out injured for Parramatta. He came on in the 61st minute and played for half an hour. Elrich, for those of you who don't know, he's kind of the playmaker for Parramatta. Without him, they're headless chickens, Parramatta, I feel.
Fair enough.
And Kataiba came on 61 minutes, and he was the difference. He turned the side around and made them a lot more competitive. And the game in the second half, it died down. And after he came on, a couple minutes later, it picked up. Game came to life, and Parramatta could have easily come back and scored an equaliser if he was fit enough to play from 61 minutes to the end of the match. Why not bring him on at the start of the match?
Because you use him as an impact player. Because players like he can change games.
Yeah, well, why not bring him on for the first 45? Well, if he's fit enough to play for half an hour, why not bring him on at the start? Parramatta haven't won a game this season. They need to field their strongest team to start.
I say good things come to those who wait. I'm putting my blind faith in Brian Dean. I honestly think he is the right man to lead Parramatta. And you just need to give him some time to let him and the team find their feet, because you've got to remember, they were in Super League last year, so they're not up to Premier League quality per se.
That's true.
So it's the same thing like Bankstown City. Bankstown City's players, they're all from the Super League. Like, they lost almost everyone at the end of last season. So what their coach is doing now is they're starting from scratch. They're playing 4-5-1. And they're playing really, really defensive and somewhat negative football. But it's getting them results. Like, they're still sitting fifth on the ladder, I believe.
Okay. I'm going to stick to my guns and say that I hope next week Elrich starts and plays at least 45 or hopefully the whole game. Use Petratos as the impact player that you're talking about.
How many minutes did Petratos play?
He didn't play.
He didn't play?
He didn't play at all. The impact, that's what I'm saying. The impact player.
Angelo would not be happy with that.
No. He did warm up, but then never got on.
Ooh.
I think I had a joke with a couple of journos there that he was warming up at about the same time as Elrich. And I said, he needs about 25 minutes to warm up anyway. He'll be on for 5 minutes at the end of the game.
Exactly. So that's what you have for having the orders guy in the league in your side.
That's right. You were at one other game this weekend.
Yes, to complete the hat-trick of New South Wales Premier League this weekend, I attended Marconi Stallions versus Bonnyrigg White Eagles. As always, I adore going to Marconi Stadium. It's just filled with history. But this week was not a historic event. It was a nil-all draw. It was really disappointing. The pitch was horrible. But it's no excuse for the style of football which was played. Marconi saw Maiora sent off for a stupid tackle on Daniel Severino. And Bonnyrigg, they're decent side, but they can't play pretty football on a park like that. So they were left to playing pass and shoot the ball up the field on long ball tactics and so on. It wasn't working for them, to be honest.
Now, you sound like you were defending Bonnyrigg because of the pitch. And it's my understanding that Brian Brown, coach of Bonnyrigg, came out and said the pitch wasn't up to scratch, and that was a large reason why they didn't play too well.
It is. Bonnyrigg had way more opportunities to score. Like, they easily should have been 3-0 in front. But they were wasteful in front of goal. Every time that they'd try and do a low pass or a low shot, it would just bounce straight over the goal net. And you had Daniel Severino and Jamie McMaster, who was on either wing. And you can see them trying so hard to launch those balls into the net. But no one was getting on the end of them. And it was just disappointing to see as a Bonnyrigg spectator in the stand kind of thing. For Marconi, though, they had nothing going for them, to be honest. Talking to Luke Casserly after the game, the head coach, he was happy that they got the point against Bonnyrigg, but he was still disappointed that they couldn't finish off the opportunities that they had.
What was the story of the kit man?
Yes, Marconi's kit man. After the game, he decided to run around the stadium screaming out, a $1 million team couldn't beat a team with 10 men.
Because Marconi did go down to 10 men.
That is true.
And Bonnyrigg are known as the Chelsea of the New South Wales Premier League. They have a lot of money to spend, is the word on the street.
Mm.
And they've long been known as that rich club.
Definitely. Talking to other coaches throughout the league, they've all said that the two teams to watch out for, who have lots and lots of money to spend, Bonnyrigg White Eagles, Sydney United. If you can get draws against those two sides, you should be treating them as if they're wins.
Mm. And Bonnyrigg treat draws as if they're losses.
That is true. Brian Brown, the head coach, didn't look too happy after the game with the result. That means that they've had 5 draws in the opening 5 games. Not the best start, to be honest.
But not the worst start, either.
Not the worst start, either. Yeah, definitely. They're sitting on, I think it's 9th on the table. So, it's not too bad. It's still early days. Once they get their players fit and playing some good football, and they stop complaining about the quality of the pitches and just play football themselves, then I think they've got a decent shot.
Yeah. Do you want to just talk about Brian Brown's excuses that he made? My thing is that he did say that the pitch was not up to scratch, and that was the reason that they couldn't play the nice style of football that they would like to play. Pitches in Australia, are they at grassroots level, are they up to scratch? Are they
They're good enough.
Yeah?
Like, I have no problem. Like, you just work around it. You look at Mark Ryderden, for instance. He literally sits at the park all day. Like, I turned up at Jensen at 3 p.m. to watch a couple of friends play. And he's been there literally all day, watching the pitch, finding out where all the bumps are, finding out how all the kids are playing and so on. That way, when he's playing his main team at 7 p.m, he knows exactly where the ball's going to bounce. He knows exactly how the pitch is going to control everything, whether it's a quick ball, whether the ball's whether the grass is very long, whatever. I would rather have a coach like Mark Ryderden who understands this than have someone who comes out and says, "Nah, pitch is rubbish. We shouldn't we can't play pretty football here. Deal with it."
Interesting. I like that point that you make.
Thank you. I'm very passionate because, like me playing my local association, I'm used to playing on many different pitches, and you just work around it. Sometimes you're going to come up against a pitch whereby the ball is going to move really, really well. Sometimes the grass is going to be too long, and you're just going to have to work around it. So you have to put more pressure on those passes. Just deal with it.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, there were 2 other games on the weekend. We saw Manly United lose to Rochdale, which means that Manly failed to get their 5th draw in a row, which I was a bit upset to see them get that, but kudos to Rochdale, means that they're off the bottom of the table.
Yeah, that win for them moves them up onto 4 or 5 points.
They've got 4 points now.
Leaves Parramatta dead last on 2 points.
The last game of the round was Sydney United, who managed to defeat South Coast Wolves 2-0. Former Sydney FC youth player, Ben Vidage, got one of those goals in the game. And apparently it was a decent first half, so
United are sitting second with a game in hand. They're tied with...
Sydney Olympic.
Sydney Olympic, true.
Sutherland is still sitting top of the table, though. They've got 11 points. Sydney United and Olympic are sitting right behind them. They've got 10. So watch out, Sutherland.
Because Sydney United could, with that game in hand, come up and trounce you. Let's move now to the one game that was held in the VPL. And that was...
That was Northcote City. Notice how I didn't say Northcote.
Like, that was really well pronounced.
Thank you. So Northcote City managed to defeat VTC Football 3-1. Goals came from Jason Trofeo, Glenn Trofeo, Adriano Cipapetta, and Dogger Ferreira, who scored the goal for VTC. So that meant that Northcote cement their place in the top five of the table. They're sitting 1 point behind Hume City, who occupy fourth spot.
That's about all we've got to talk about on the VPL. But while we are in Victoria, there was one game that happened just as we went to recording. South Melbourne versus Yarraville United. Yarraville. Oh, I've got them somewhere. Yarraville.
We're going to call them Yarraville. No, Yarraville Glory. Yarraville Glory.
Glory was that. We should have remembered that because Glory did not come their way at all as they went down 14-0. To the Victorian Premier League team. Yarraville are in the State League in Victoria.
And someone quite famous scored the opening goal. Who was it? Sorry?
Luobo Miletovic.
He scored two goals in the game. There was... who was the guy that scored? There was one guy scored five. So there was a lot of goals scored. 14-0.
That's in the Mirabella Cup.
Mirabella Cup, that's how you say it.
For more information, you can always check out the Football Victoria website.
Yeah,
who we're partners with.
Media partners, not partners.
I like to say that we're partners with.
Well, that implies that we're in a relationship with them. And
it's complicated.
That we might take them to the movies.
Do we have to buy them popcorn as well?
I would assume that we wear the pants and I think that would have to be the case. I'm sure the Mirabella Cup will be more competitive as it wears on and it gets closer to the final.
Definitely. Now, one thing which was rather interesting during the week, which actually happened, was we got a text message from a certain coaches over in China at the moment talking about why he wasn't the first Scottish coach to be interviewed on the program.
Yeah, last week on the podcast, we had Ernie Merrick come on the show, as you, I'm sure, are aware. It was a gripping interview. And yeah, this week, Laurie McKenna got on the phone and said, "Look, I'm not happy. I wasn't the first Scot on the show," and so we got him on. We said, "Can you come on to the podcast?" And he agreed. And I think we've got him on the line now. Are you there, Laurie?
Hey, hello. Hey, how you going?
Oh, hi, Laurie. How are you? It's Pete here.
Oh, hello, Pete. Are you alright?
Yeah, I'm going very well, thank you. How about yourself? How's it going over in China?
Oh, it's great. You know, I'm having lots of duck. Well, yeah, it's on every street here.
Well, good to know. You're coaching Chengdu Blades, which is the sister club of Sheffield United.
Hi.
How's it going in China? Because I know that you've got Jonas Sally, you've got Adam Kwasnik, Brendan Santaleb, all of these guys in your ranks.
Aye. Well, all those players, they've come over from the A-League at various times. They're doing well. You know, I brought them over and... Adam, he needs a wee bit more time to gel with a squad, but I think you'll get there, you know. They're all eating the Chinese food. That's probably the main thing that China's good for.
Like, so good. Do you think it's a bit of a secret? Like the Chinese food gives footballers that bit of a boost?
No doubt. I mean, Chinese food, you kind of go wrong with it. I mean, it should be part of all footballers' diets.
Is this something you're going to bring back to Central Coast? Because I understand you've still got a role at Central Coast.
I'm still helping them out in a consultative role, you know. I may bring back the secret of the Chinese food that they've got here over in the football club of Chengdu Blades. Anything else you'd like to ask me, Pete?
Well, I kind of conducted most of the interview with Ernie last week, so I was wondering if you had anything.
Well, no. I'd just like to say that you brought on Ernie Merrick last week, and I was disappointed, you know what? Because, like, I thought we were friends, Pete. I mean, you've come up to Central Coast and you've stayed at my house and we've had a beer. And I thought...
I always thought you were a shandy man myself, but...
Didn't you talk about my drinks? I drink beer and I drink cider. None of this shandy business. Shut up, man. Aye, beer.
Right.
But yeah, I thought you would have brought me on the show first before Ernie.
Well, personally, you are my favourite, Scott.
Oh, thank you.
No problem, it's a good honour. But it was just that Ernie Merrick was in the news at the time, and so we thought it would be more appropriate to be hard-hitting with our fans.
All right. But, you know, don't do it again. Don't prefer Ernie over me next time, Pete, okay?
No problem.
Because otherwise, you've got no place to stay when you come to the Central Coast.
Right. Did you have anything to add, Matt?
No, that's about it. Laurie, we thank you for coming on the show, mate. You've really brought up the calibre of the Football Sack Podcast. Oh, no worries, Matt. You know, that's fine by me. Yeah, great.
Thanks for coming on the show, Laurie. Hopefully we can talk to you later on in the season.
Try and get you on the show later on in the year. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
That was Laurie McKenna.
Laurie McKenna.
You didn't sound impressed that we were talking to Ernie Merrick first.
Not at all.
Hey, we got you on the show at
least. He's a friend of yours, is he?
Yeah, well, we've had a couple of drinks, like you said, and...
He's
a top bloke.
I think he was hiding that he drinks shandies.
I know he does. I've seen him drink shandies up at Blue Tongue Stadium, okay?
As long as it's Blue Tongue beer.
It is Blue Tongue. He likes Blue Tongue. I don't know why, but anyway.
Major sponsors of Central Coast Mariners, probably.
Probably. Anyway, let's quickly jump across to WA All Flags State League. And we'll do the usual shout-out to That Was A Goal. Their match reports and videos on our website continue to amaze us.
They do, except I was listening to their podcast this weekend, of this past week. They predicted one game completely wrong. They were far, far from the actual scoreline.
Which game was this?
That was the Perth Soccer Club versus Western Knight. Okay. Now, they, on the show... I think Dave came out and said it was definitely going to be a 1-1 draw.
Whoa, yeah, he was proved wrong.
I think the rest of the team over there concurred, said draw, yep. Well, the actual result was a 6-1 demolishing Perth had over Western Knights. And this clash, just to give you some backstory, it's second versus third, Perth second versus Western Knights third. Western Knights haven't lost a game, or hadn't lost a game, this season. Pete, who scored in those games?
Well, we saw hat-tricks from David Onoforo and Jason Dos Santos. So, they were just in absolute top form. There was nothing that Western Knights could have done to stop them. They were actually doing what Alex Smith from Sydney Olympic should be doing. They were looking for passes, they were scoring those goals. Everything just went right for them.
Yeah, there was... two occasions that I noted that there was a long ball played across. The long ball was received by the front man, and then it was played square to an on-running man, and that
it's very much this pass and move football, and it works for them. And as you can see, the 6-1 result, it just proves that Perth are the better side.
Not saying that we're advocates of the long ball game, but in that instance, it worked. Because the Western Knights' defence was kind of non-existent, and I'm sure Perth's thinking was that, look, just get the ball up into the final third, and you will probably score.
Exactly. But it wasn't all good news for Western Knights' side. They actually had two of their players.
None of good news. No good news at all.
Yeah, true. It was horrible
news.
It was
further bad news.
For Perth. For Western Knights, sorry. As they saw two of their players get sent off. The first one was two yellow cards for Montgomery, who managed to get the cards for ungentlemanlike sportsmanship, which really means that he got two yellow cards for having a bit of a shove.
Yeah.
And the second person to get sent off was Ferguson, who, for no reason at all, he just walks the ball past Dos Santos, and then decides he's going to have a push on him. And so he just sees a straight red card.
He's a big guy, is Ferguson. He must be 7 foot.
He's got to be like 6'4". Easy. Easy.
He's
6'4".
I'm 6'1". He's more than 6'4". He's 7. He's 7 foot.
Fair enough.
He's definitely 7 foot. I'm just saying he's 7 foot. But yeah.
Wait, you get the facts here on the Football Sack podcast.
I'm pretty sure you'll find that he's 7 foot. He just shoved Dos Santos. And fair enough, Dos Santos gave him a little clip.
Yeah, but there's no reason to go off and just push him off the ball. It was completely off the ball. It was just stupid football, to be honest. And you can see that Western Knights, its coach, they weren't happy at the end of it. Definitely not.
Not at all. Just quickly, before we wrap up, we thought we'd let you know that there are 3 days left to vote in the Footy Fans Down Under
Awards.
Yeah, their voting is still going on for 3 more days. So get online, ffdu.net, and vote for the Football Sack, hopefully, if you think we're worthy.
We're up for a couple of nominations, so Writer of the Year, we've got Podcast of the Year, we've also got like Media of the Year and so on. So I know that school goes back tomorrow, so I still stand by my stance of take your class to the computer room, get every one of your classmates to vote for us. Definitely, it is a good idea.
Also, I don't know if this will work, but every different internet browser that you have, get onto that.
The good thinking. I don't consider this.
If you have Internet Explorer, vote on that. If you have Firefox, just vote on that. Chrome, Opera, whatever.
To be honest, it won't work because your laptop is one IP address. So.
Really? Do you not? Okay.
It won't work. But hey, it's worth a shot.
You can do it anyway. Just do it for fun. We're sure it's quite fun to vote for us lots of times.
Exactly. So, of course, as always, we suggest that you follow FFDU on Twitter.
And while we're at Twitter, we have a few shout-outs, as always, to some of our loyal followers.
Well, the Parks Soccer Amateur Soccer District Association, I don't know, they're Parks Soccer on Twitter.
In Parks, where the dish is that where
you... I'm guessing so.
Okay.
They ask us to give them a shout-out and let everyone know their 50th birthday is in 2013. You're 2 years early, so I recommend that you remind us in 2 years' time so that we can give you a shout out then as well.
Yeah, when it's actually 2013.
Exactly. And we also have the general sackers, I like to name them. So we've got Mishus and we've got Lewis Paternus, who are both...
Did they just say good day?
More or less, yeah.
Alright.
And last up, I wanted to give a shout out to the staff of Groove Train in Harbour Town. It sounds a bit fancy, but apparently they stopped trading for like the 40 minutes that we have our podcast and just listen to our podcast in the shop.
Wow, yeah, that's a great positive message for us. We can go away happy that that's the case. That for 40 minutes, no one gets served at that shop.
Definitely.
You probably shouldn't do that, guys.
Keep your shops open. Please keep your shops open because then more customers will listen to our podcast and they'll tell someone, and too easy. So your homework this week, listeners, get someone who doesn't know what the Football Sack is and teach them about us.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
If everyone tells one person, too easy.
Pay it forward. Pay the Football Sack forward. Alright, check out the website, www.thefootballsack.com. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/footballsack. And generally, just say g'day to us if you see us in the street, whatever. We've been the Football Sack. My name is Matt Greenlaw. That there is
Pete Nowalowski. And as always, don't forget to buy some beer.
Buy some beer.